Hello and welcome to the Displaced African podcast. The Displaced African is the African immigrant's personal development blog. It can be found at www.thedisplacedafrican.com. Good morning, good evening, or good night. This is Mwangi here. And today's interview is with Tabitha Tongoi, who is one of the students accepted to the African Leadership Academy in South Africa. Now, I think what I really like about this interview with Tabitha Tongoi is it's basically we have recorded someone who's a young person who's doing excellent things in the world. And I think it's very important. One thing that's really heavy on my heart this week is that it's very important for us as African people to record excellence. At whatever level, if you have done anything and done it even remotely well, let me encourage you, please record it, share it with people, put it in a book, put it on a website, email it, start a mentorship program, call people, I don't know, write notes to people, have a pen pal, it doesn't really matter, but just share, because what might take someone 5 years to do, someone might have already done. And I think it's so important for us to just have a library of information, not just information, but useful, applicable, practical information that other people can use to excel. You never know, the information that you might share might just help someone, you know, go from mediocre to absolutely extraordinary. So my hope is an interview such as this will help especially younger people go from a level of mediocrity or even excellence to even high excellence. So anyway, without further ado, here's the interview with Tabitha Tongoi. Have an excellent day, evening, night, whatever it is you're having. This is Mwangi here. I'm out. Hi, this is Mwangi here, and I'm here with Tabitha Tongoi. So Tabitha, tell people about the Leadership Academy and who you are and all of that.
Okay, my name is Tabitha Tongoi. I'm 17 years old, and I come from Kenya. In September of this year, 2008, I'll be joining African Leadership Academy as part of its inaugural class. The students were selected from a pool of 1,700 applicants from all over the world, and we are 106 who will be attending the academy. The goal of the academy is to develop Africa's next generation leaders. And the focus is on leadership, entrepreneurship, and African studies. Yeah.
Okay. So how did you hear about the Leadership Academy?
The admissions officer in charge of East Africa came to recruit students from my school, which is a national school in Kenya, the Kenya High School. And I was chosen as one of 30 students to receive the presentation. And I was the only one selected from the group of 30 girls. Yeah.
And why is it that you were selected out of all those 30 girls?
I don't know. Maybe I prayed a lot. what I believe is that I met the criteria that they were looking for.
Do you know what the criteria was that they were looking for?
Yeah, they actually listed it down for us. They wanted students who had a strong academic record, students with a deep passion for Africa, students with an entrepreneurial attitude and dedication to public service. So I hope I met all their criteria, or I'm hoping that that is the reason why they chose me. And I believe it is the reason why they chose me, yeah.
And do you know how they established how someone had a passion for Africa? Because it seems like such an ambiguous term, passion for Africa. Do you know how they measured that? Or?
I don't know, actually. I think for what I know about other students who were admitted into the academy is that there were many students who had links or roots in so many parts of Africa that they had a wide knowledge on what's happening in Africa, had been exposed to many cultures. So that is probably the passion that they were looking for. The special thing that as a student or as an individual, you had been able to see Africa as a whole, which is very rare because most people just know only about their country or their town or the community. But they were looking for students who had a wider view on Africa. and had developed a deep passion for it. So personally, I think I showed that. I don't know exactly how, but I believe that I was able to capture that, and that's why I was chosen. Yeah.
And so do you, how exactly, like in your case, how exactly did they establish that? Is it that you've traveled to many countries in Africa? Do you have pen pals in other countries? Do you have projects in other countries? How did they establish that in your particular case?
I think maybe because of through the interview process, of course they get to ask you many questions on Africa and what you say is on this or the other. So because of the many books that I've read on Africa and my parents who are very, they are African leaders in their own right, I have a deep knowledge on Africa and I have thus developed a deep passion for Africa. So I think maybe because of my caliber of answering questions or of answering on different topics, they picked that up, that I have a deep passion for Africa. Yeah.
Okay, so now you're going to the Leadership Academy. So what is your plan in terms of going to the academy and beyond that?
I hope that at the academy I'll be able to establish a strong network of friends from across the world, and of course after that to work with them in bringing Africa to her best, to the full, to her full potential. I want to work with in the law sector. I want to be an advocate, and I want to also make policies focusing especially on education. So that's my long-term view, my long-term vision for Africa, is better education for her children.
Okay, so let's discuss, okay, because you are in Kenya, and Kenya has the 844, the former British system, 844 system, which we still have to this day. So what exactly do you think is missing, and what can be done to our education system as it stands?
I think the education system that we have in Kenya, I didn't condemn it in its fullness. I condemn bits and parts of it that don't contribute to the growth of our society, because I have to praise the Kenyan system for raising up young people who have a very strong work ethic, and that I believe is very important for the development of any society. However, I still do not believe that the workload that we have is relevant. Many people complain that we learn such impractical things, for example, stuff that's happening in Europe. Not that it's not important, but that it's not relevant to most Kenyan children's immediate needs. So the knowledge that we gain in school, the hours that we spend there at the end of the day, have nothing to show for it, because we are still hungry, we still have no shoes to wear, we are still without shelter. So what I'd like to bring in is an education that meets the needs of the people, whether it's in terms of growing, for example, the syllabi for practical courses like home economics or woodwork or carpentry, something that can give a Kenyan student a skill to be able to enable him or her to grow out of the poverty that they are in. So I also have or seek to learn more things or more ways through which I can develop the Kenyan educational system so that it develops a holistic person, not just a person who is good at working, but a person who is able to deal with issues, a person who is able to think outside the box, to be creative, to be innovative, to bring change, to be positive, and also to be leaders in their own right and in their own communities.
Now, I was reading about, because, you know, you've been in a few papers, so I was reading about how apparently one of the things that was really that convinced them that you should be in the Leadership Academy is that you started up a project. I think it was something to do with books, unless I am mistaken.
Yeah.
Could you please talk about more about that?
I began a book project last year, in September of 2007, with a vision of providing textbooks to needy students. I came up with this project because I realized that for many students in my school, once they're done with Form 4, I mean, it's like education is over. So we have the academic bonfire where you burn all your textbooks and your exercise books and, you know, you're finally happy and done with secondary education. But then for many students from other schools, which are not like my school, which is a national school, many students in informal settlements suffer greatly in their education because they don't have textbooks. And this sentiment was echoed by the Ministry of Education in a sector review report 2006 to 2007 that clearly stated that the main challenge facing our educational system is simply a lack of textbooks, because one book is shared among seven students. So I saw the opportunity for us to meet the needs as young people, of young people who are around us who needed these books. So just recently we had the handover ceremony of the books, and these were received by around roughly 500 to 700 students from five schools in informal settlements in Nairobi. So I hope that in the future I'll be able to grow this initiative to Kenya and even to Africa. Yeah.
Okay. So now let's get into the psychology of things. So I guess what I'd want to understand is what exactly do you think, in your opinion, separates you from your peers? Because, I mean, clearly you were chosen because people think you are one of the best, you're the cream of the crop. So in terms of what you do on a day-to-day basis, the habits that you have as a person, what do you think it is that separates you from your peers?
I think I owe much of who I am and what I believe in to my parents, because I watch them every day in what they do, and I see how they lead their lives. They are Christians, and they live a very organized and disciplined life that follows the truth in the Bible. So through what I have been able to observe from them, I have gained a lot in terms of the vision that they have as Christians for our world and our countries as a whole. I think also probably I also believe a lot in my education, and I see myself as a channel through which future generations will get education. So I don't take things lightly. I put my heart in whatever I decide to put my heart into, and I give my best to the opportunity that I have, because I realize that I'm privileged, and that inspires me to work hard and to always push to achieve my targets. So I believe a lot in my goals and in achieving them, and I am a go-getter. I think I got this from my mother, who is actually also quite a go-getter, and my father as well. So it's a combination of the way I have been brought up, and a combination of the beliefs that I also have developed and gained as I've grown up, to be a person who believes in what we set out to do and who achieves what they've set out to do.
Okay, and just so that people have understand the context, talk a little bit about who your parents are and what they do.
Okay, my parents are Mr. and Mrs. Dennis Tongoi. My mother, Irene Tongoi, is she's a trained teacher. However, she, for the past 15 or so years, was a housewife, and she brought myself and my two other siblings up as a housewife. And recently she took on post as executive director. She began her own organization called Lead on Kenya, which reaches out to 10 to 12 year old children with the message of sexual abstinence. It also, the organization also runs a secondary school in an informal settlement. My father is Dennis Tongoi, and he is the executive director of Church Mission Society. This is an organization that deals with training leaders, church leaders, to be more holistic in their approach in Christianity and more holistic in their approach to discipling the nations. So he's an African leader. He deals with churches across Africa and even across the world. And my mother herself is an educationalist. And so I combine the two, the power and passion of education as well as the power and passion of leadership.
Okay.
So you said that you see yourself as a funnel through which education will come across. So let's assume, just as a mental exercise, that we have a brand new fresh mind, a young African fresh mind that we have left in your stewardship to take care of. What are the principles that you would use to guide this person? And talk a little bit about what you teach them, how you teach them, and so on and so forth.
I believe that the first thing that you need to grow up or to develop as a young African leader or as a fresh mind is courage to confront the ageist attitudes of your society, because the problem is that we need leaders who will change things, because time in itself cannot change things. So to be able to change things, you have to have the courage to face confrontation from people who are used to doing things the usual way. Bringing in a fresh idea also requires a lot of foresight and faith in what you believe in, because if you want to bring something or change into a society, you have to be able to convince the people to turn and follow you, or to follow the steps that you want to lead them in. So you have to have a lot of faith in what you believe in, so that you can convince others also to believe in what you believe in. I think also you need a strong support network. You need people around you who are able to encourage you, people who are able to give you their knowledge or understanding on different things, people who are able to support you materially, people who are able to cover you spiritually if you're a Christian, people who are able to walk with you. I think maybe one more thing that you will need is intelligence, to be able to read the times and to be able to think through what needs to be done in order to achieve the goal that I want to achieve in this society. So you have to be able to read the times, to grasp opportunities, to see opportunities around you, things that other people wouldn't see. So I believe those are some of the qualities that I can say top off my head, rather. And the rest may be, as time goes on, they'll come to me. Yeah.
No, that's good thus far. So let's make it much more practical. Let's say, what would this person's routine be from day to day? So let's assume they wake up every morning. What do they be doing with their day? I mean, let's assume it's a perfect world and it's exactly as you would want it to be. What would this child be doing on a day to day basis?
I think the first thing is interacting with very many people. Or as many people or types of people as you possibly can, because people are such a great resource. You can learn so much from being with people and from listening to their stories and learning from them. And also through people, you're able to establish networks and to be able to build your group of people who are able to support you, which is very important if you want to do anything. I think also what you probably also need is to, on a day-to-day basis, expose yourself to as much information as you can, to have a very inquisitive and curious mind, so that you keep asking, why should things be like this, or why don't we look at this other way? And also to, I guess, also challenge a lot of things on a day-to-day basis, to look at things the other way around instead of how everyone looks at them. So I think, I guess a lot of personal dedication and discipline to do all the above, as well as self-drive, if I may put it that way, so that you can be able to achieve your long-term goals by concentrating on achieving the short-term goals first. Yeah.
Okay. And now you spoke before about our support networks. So talk about, what type of support network do you have aside from your parents, who we've heard quite a bit about? So what type of people do you have around you, you know, that support you in your endeavors?
I owe a lot to my teachers in my former school, the Kenya High School, and the entire Kenya High School administration, because because of the name that I had as a Kenya, or I still actually have as a Kenya High student, a lot of my, even when I was doing my project and I wanted to meet different people, by virtue of my being in Kenya High, that was sort of like the stamp. It sort of validated my efforts. So Kenya High has been a strong network. My friends in Kenya High who listened to me the first time I was telling them about my project, and they gave me their ideas. They shared their ideas. They led me in a certain way, or told me, no, maybe you should do things the other way. Also, I would say my church leaders from my local church, which is called Karura Community Chapel. It's in Nairobi. And the church leaders who directed me and also prayed over me and prayed for me through when I was doing the project. I'd also say friends of my family, because some of the guests who attended the launch of my project were friends of my family and people that either my parents knew who were able to connect me to other people who helped me directly in the project. So I'd say to do a lot with the people who are directly around me, which is my church, my school, and I guess my friends at home. So that is definitely that has been my strongest network. Yeah.
Okay. And as the final question, this one is just more for my curiosity and just because it amazes me. I've heard you have one of the most amazing, in terms of academic results, the way you work, apparently, because, you know, I know your sister and your mother, and the way they describe the way you work, you would think that it's like we are on a certain level, normal people, and you work on some other level. So what I'd like to hear is more about, like, the way you work academically, just so that, you know, we can get, you know, a model that other people can copy, that, you know, so that for other people who want to be achievers.
I think for me, as I said before, I take my academics very seriously. I don't leave anything to chance, because I always say that I only have one chance to do anything that I want to do in my life. So I take every opportunity that I can by the horns. I always want to challenge myself, and I always set the bar higher and higher. I am actually, by nature, a very competitive person. So I like to achieve, and it's not that it's like an obsession, but it's part of who I am, and it's not something that I do to show other people that, okay, yeah, I'm cleverer than you. No, it's not like that. It's just that I like to be challenged to be the best that I can be. So I like to set very good goals, and I work towards them. I never say that I can't achieve this. I say, why can't I achieve this? So I research, I put in extra hours, I tell myself, I sacrifice a lot. I mean, I have to, you know, sometimes tell my friends, no, I can't come over for that thing because I need to do this and this, or I need to study. So it takes a lot of sacrifice on my part, but it's because I see the long-term goal. So maybe for many students, I think that students may sometimes just think, okay, I just want to finish my exam and get it over with, or I can't wait to get out of high school or to get out of this. But then I think when you begin to see where exactly do you want to go at the end of your life, what do you want to say at the end of your life you did and you are happy about, you know? And I always say that if my goal in life is to help others get a better education, then I better use the education that I have right now to my best, so that they too can get the best education that they can get. So I think with that as my end goal, then I'm very motivated to work hard, to wake up early in the morning and to give my education my all.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, and as the closing statement, what would you like said when you die? How would you like to be remembered, in short?
I'd like to be remembered as someone who had a passion for what she did and who set out against all odds to achieve that her goal or her dream, which is to help other children get a better education and to improve education for other people. I'd like to be remembered as a person of integrity who stood up for what she believed in, and someone who remained strong in the midst of tough situations, and someone who made it, yeah, and made it also for Jesus, not only for others, but also for Jesus as well.
Well, that was absolutely perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Alright. This has been the Displaced African Podcast. The Displaced African is the African immigrant's personal development blog. You can find it at www.thedisplacedafrican.com.